Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, and I am thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. You know, here at Advanced Living, we've made a promise to do things that help support your quality of life, to help you to handle some issues, handle some stress, to move things ahead. And we want to, in the midst of all of that, make sure we're doing something that when you implement some things into your life, you call back or you let me know through email.
That was easy.
Yes, we're going for easy. We want you to be able to make progress in your life and not go nuts doing it. Right? We can't have that. So guess what? We are going to do something very wonderful today. And you know, if you've tuned in from time to time, our show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com. which is the home of the Comfort Technology. It's a small plug-in unit, and if you have stress in your life, you're not sleeping well, you want to think more clearly, you're sensitive to energies, this, you plug it in, it's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. It's like having 10 good friends show up and say they love you. It's just an amazing positive energy that plugs in and looks like a digital clock. So visit AdvancedLiving.com to learn more about that. And now, today, we are in for such a treat. We have Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey, and she is an internationally known best-selling author of a number of books. The latest, Parenting the Children of Now, and of course, The Children of Now, Conversations with the Children of Now, and Pyramids of Light. And what we're wanting to do is bring you something about the wonderfulness of not only the children that you know in your life, but some insights to yourself and that wonderful child that we hope, if it's not actively involved in your life at this moment, we're going to help bring it back to life. Now, Dr. Meg has been a consultant to Good Morning America, 2020 News. She's traveled the world. Her expertise in relation to issues of children of the consciousness evolution is greatly in demand. And she still has time, which is wonderful in the midst of all this busyness, to be a contributing writer to a variety of publications, including being a regular columnist in Kinetics Magazine. Oh, yes, Kinetics.com for that wonderful magazine. And while traveling globally, she's also a keynote speaker and a guide to sacred sites. You know, if you want to go see some wonderful places with someone and have a lot of fun at the same time, yes, Dr. Meg. She takes groups on journeys to sacred sites such as places in Mexico, Peru, Scotland, England. And Dr. Meg is a master healer, speaker, and teacher. And she is also an ordained minister in both spiritual science and metaphysics. She's a PhD of holistic life coaching and holds a doctoral degree in metaphysics. She is a medical intuitive and developer of the seventh sense attunement healing process. We got to find out about that, right? The seventh sense attunement healing process. And Dr. Meg just released a new book titled Parenting the Children of Now. It's the first book of its kind that addresses the needs of parents of special children. And it teaches parents how to just to mine for their own truth, understand the purpose of life, stop sabotaging their own and their children's life, who hasn't gotten in the way of themselves and those around them once in a while, so that they can discover their passion and live their truth. And each chapter offers insightful ideas and strategies and ends with exercises for parenting, things for them to do for their own development, and another set of exercises for them to do with their children, so for family bonding. Oh, get ready, folks. Welcome, welcome, Dr. Meg.
Thank you so much. What a great introduction. It's almost a show of its own.
Well, just knowing you and getting to share what you're up to is a treat. So,
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Well, thank you. Now, I am just so curious because you have such a unique way of doing things, and it wouldn't surprise me if your book, because there's just tons of books out there about parents and kids and how to raise them, how to put them back down after you've raised them. No, just kidding. And so what I want to figure out, can you tell us about, you know, if you've got a different approach from other parenting books, and what can we learn from that book?
I do, Ken. You know, it's not an instructional how to change diapers and what time to put your child to bed kind of book. It's a book of life skills. Mm. And the reason that I approached parenting this way is, frankly, over the years, I've worked with a lot of families and a lot of children, and what I've seen time and time and time again, that the children really weren't broken. It was the parents, needs and illusion that was getting in the way of the child's well-being. And I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just the truth, you know. Parents have gotten so caught up in their own fear, their own not being able to tell themselves the truth and trying to fit in and trying to achieve something in their life and all of that, you know, adults have really lost touch with themselves. That's what I noticed more than anything, that the parents were so unaware of what the children were really saying or meaning that they were missing the point. And also, as I've traveled, as you said, all over the world by now, I've heard the same questions over and over. The two biggest ones are, what is my purpose? And the other one, how do I find my passion? And gosh, if we could just answer those two questions for ourselves, our lives would start immediately changing toward more a positive way. And so I addressed those things in Parenting the Children of Now, because children absorb everything around them. They become their environment. That's what they learn. That's what they know, as they grow up. So I wanted to make sure that we as caregivers and parents of these wonderful, wonderful kids really learn how to first be honest with ourselves, and secondly, to pass that way of being and a lot else on to the children, so that the children don't grow up being adults that are still trying to figure themselves out, you know, like we did. And still
yes, the baby boomer generation is like the children of Israel that got out of Egypt. They spent 40 years wandering around in the desert before they found the promised land.
Well, here's the deal, Ken. You know, generationally speaking, we were taught we needed to do more, try harder, find our life purpose and achieve that, make a mark, you know. And nobody ever told us what it was like when we would get there. Nobody ever shared with us what success looked like. What they shared with us was dissatisfaction that we weren't good enough.
Mm.
And so we learned to defend ourselves around that, and that's where we started becoming untruthful with ourselves, because people wanted us to be things that we were not. You know, they wanted us to do things that we weren't interested in. And we set out on this journey to find this purpose that's this nebulous idea that doesn't even exist, you know?
Yes. Wow. Wow, no wonder.
The truth is, just to answer the question, our life purpose is every moment that we exist. in every moment we're exchanging, we're interchanging, we become a part of everything that we experience, and everyone and everywhere that is involved in that experience also gets part of us. And so we never know how we've touched someone, you know, along the way in our everyday lives, and how we've been touched even. So if we're, you know, if we're careful about what we're doing in every given moment, not so much careful but intentional, you know, we start to realize that life's a lot fuller than we imagined, and we're touched and we're touching others in ways that we never considered before.
Yeah. Now, you just brought up an important point, because when I grew up, and many people, that we would be told, be careful, be careful. And mm-hmm. and then you said that, and then you said, well, rather than just be careful, let's be intentional.
Exactly.
And I think that is that, what a huge difference when going out there.
Well, that whole be careful thing made us afraid. You know, and we develop a lot of those defenses I talked about because we're afraid, because we don't know what's out of our comfort zone. You know, our comfort zone gets really small. And it may not be okay, you know, things may not be right for us in our familiar zone, but at least it's predictable. And so we
yeah.
rarely step out of that, you know, and the world gets really small. So it's about being willing to step out of that comfort zone and try new things and listen carefully and deeply to what's going on around us and be aware, you know, be really present with ourselves.
Ah, wow. Now, this fear, is there more that you'd share about how that can kind of dictate our experiences? And
yeah, what happens is we get afraid. You know, we're afraid that we won't be loved. I don't mean afraid like horror movies. I mean simple fears. We're afraid that we'll be judged, or someone won't like us or love us because we tell them what we really want to tell them. You know, and so we start covering up our feelings. We lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves, oh, so-and-so didn't really mean that. Yes, they did. You know, oh, I should have said something else. Why? You know, but we start reacting automatically out of fear subconsciously, and relationships don't go the way we wish they would. You know, we find ourselves lacking and wondering why we don't have what we need. You know, everything we do isn't quite what we'd hoped for, because we're reacting habitually, defensively from our past experiences and our, you know, and what we've been taught. So one of the things that I teach people in parenting the children of now is how to identify those fears and acknowledge them, because we're defending what we won't own ourselves, you know, what we won't admit. And once we find that, first of all, there's nothing to defend anymore. And second of all, no one can ever hurt us there because we figured it out.
Ooh.
So fear plays a big role whether we realize it or not. And when we're ready to look at that and make those changes, we get more authentic, you know, and we're less defended, and we don't have to remember what we said or to whom, because there's nothing to defend anymore.
Mm. Now, in your book, Parenting the Children of Now, do you go into some of the specific different fears and things that people can do in addressing that? Or?
Yeah, the biggest part of the whole thing is just getting an awareness. You know, I gave exercises in each chapter of the book to kind of drive home the different skills that I was teaching, and they're really easy, and they're, for the most part, they're really fun. This particular one is more difficult because it requires brutal self-honesty, you know, and that's something that we have to learn. But basically, there are fears, like I said, about not being loved, or about being abandoned, or being judged, or not fitting in. You know, these are the kind of fears I'm talking about. And believe it or not, those little things that don't sound like a big deal, when they're part of our psyche, our subconscious network of behaviors, really affect how we choose in our life, how we live in our life, you know, and how we make our decisions. if we make them, because sometimes when we have those fears, we just don't act. We get paralyzed in ourselves, and sometimes we think that not acting is better than making that choice. And so there's a whole exercise in the book about how to identify these and how to embrace them, and so they're no longer running your show from behind, as I say.
Ah, yeah, that little background music. That
yep.
It's one of the things that's interesting. I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you're watching a scary movie and you turn off the sound, it's like a whole different experience. You're watching something that can be a little frightening, but without that background sound, it's
mm-hmm.
like, wait, it loses a lot of its power. So
that's a beautiful analogy. You know, that subconscious stuff is all of that drama and trauma noise in the background that keeps us rooted in place and afraid.
Yeah.
Turn it off, you know, change the tune, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's no longer a scary adventure, but it's funny as heck or whatever, you know. It's just all about perception.
Wow. And so this is part of what you do, because you have an extensive background in, as a healer, so
mm-hmm.
some of this comes through in the book for people as they do different exercises, huh?
I hope so.
Well, now, speaking of the book, I'm wondering, how could someone get their hands on this book?
Oh, gosh, Ken, it's in every bookstore. It's in all of your favorite bookstores, and it's on Amazon.com also at a great discount rate.
Oh.
So, and if you go to your bookstore and they don't have it, request it, because a lot of the bookstores are already running out of it, and the more you request it, the faster they'll get those books in for you.
Oh, good. Okay. And then for people wanting to learn more about you, is there a good website?
Thank you. Sure. It's called spiritlight.com. That's spirit, LITE.com.
Okay. So we'd like to go to www.spiritlite.com, where you can learn a lot more about Dr. Meg and her background and appearances coming up. And, this is great. And I just remember, children of now. So there's parenting the children of now, there's, what's the other title?
Conversations with the children of now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I did in that one is I took, I think there were about 15 of the different children with different sets of abilities and perceptions, and I interviewed them for that book. And what they had to say was pretty astounding.
Wow. And we've known, as it says biblically, we won't enter the kingdom unless we become as a little child. And then here you are taking time to help us to connect to the wisdom of that, and now with this new book, with the help us be better parents.
Yeah. Well, it's our inner child that really screws us up. You know, here we are with adult bodies and faces, and that little kid in there didn't get what he or she needed necessarily or wanted, and is just causing us to react in ways that we might not otherwise. So when we get balanced in ourselves and that child inside of us is satisfied and feels safe, you know, once we've gotten a hold of these issues and dealt with them, then we have a whole new experience. And not only that, but we pass that on to our children. How many people can you do the expos and stuff? We've seen each other at some of those.
Right.
All these people wandering around looking to heal themselves. When the truth is, there's nothing wrong with them. You know?
Yes. Yes, and of course, what happens if someone asks themselves, what's wrong with me? They're bound to find an answer.
Well, somebody will tell them if they let them, you know, but it's not necessarily true.
Right, exactly. Yeah, if we look hard enough, we can always find something wrong with ourselves, but that's not going to help solve it. It's
no.
It's like, well...
My point in that is that we learn to look externally for approval.
Oh, yes.
And we realize that we're not, you know, we think we're not perfect. And so we go in search of fixing ourselves and healing ourselves and asking everybody what that looks like. Well, it can only look like what their perception is, not ours. So we've got to go inside first, you know.
Yes. Now, we discussed briefly about some things with fear, and I'm wondering, in your book, do you discuss any of the other patterns that might be going on in our lives?
Yeah, you know, we have a couple of different types of patterns. We have familial patterns, patterns that are in our families that we learn just because that's what we grew up with. And then we develop patterns of behavior in response to how we are dealing with life based on whatever we've learned or been told. And that runs the gamut, you know. One of the biggest ones is to become the victim, you know, feeling like we're a victim of everything and it's everything outside of us causing our issues. Of course, that's not true, but that's how we feel. Becoming a bully, you know, quite the opposite, when in fact they're a marshmallow inside, but they injure other people before other people can hurt them, you know. People who give themselves away day after day after day looking for approval and being the do-gooder, as I call them, you know, aren't getting what they need. They're doing everybody else's bidding, you know, and there are quite a few different personality types that I wrote about in the book and how we can change that, you know, why we've developed them and how we can change them. And they're nothing more than defense mechanisms to cover up, again, those fears and those misperceptions of ourselves.
Oh, yes. Now, I'm wondering, in some of these patterns that you're talking about, because sometimes people think, well, if I've had this pattern and it's, I'm going to need years of therapy to get over it and all this, can we actually, through reading your book, make some real headway with some of these patterns?
If you read that book and you really apply yourself to the skills that are shared in it, you can change your entire life without really having to go through any pain. You know, to me, all those long-term, quote, healing modalities and stuff are for people that want to wallow in their problems and not, you know, not ever come out the other end. They're just not, there's no end to it. Not really. But if you use these skills, all you're doing is basically changing your perception of yourself and how you relate to the world and how the world relates to you. And it's that easy. It's, you know, everything is simple. It's only as convoluted as we allow it to be.
Oh, wow. Wow. So this is one of the things that sometimes we've gotten used to. Life is hard. Life is complicated,
right.
And we've had enough experiences that we've become convinced. Well, that's really the case.
Yep. Whatever we believe is true.
And yet, what you're saying through your book, we can get an opportunity to take a look at some of these things and do some simple exercises to apply this stuff that you're offering,
yeah.
and make some big breakthroughs.
Yeah, it's basically a handbook for life skills.
Ah.
Yeah.
You mean, is this the kind of stuff many of us wish our parents would have taught us?
Oh, yes. In fact, people are writing me and saying, this isn't just a book for parents, this is a book for everybody, which is honestly the way I originally wrote it. But there was so much demand for me to bring more stuff around the children and all that I slanted it to be a parenting book. But it's just a darn good set of life skills that anyone can use.
Ah, wow. Now, just curious, because it's not often that the parents and children can participate to something together, but your book is designed that they can?
Yep. The whole point is to get connected with our kids. You know, our lives are so fast-paced, and there's so many demands being made on us from different directions, and we tend, you know, the average parents only spend about 1 to 3 hours a day with their children. That's awful. So the exercises are very powerful, and they're very heartwarming, too, in many cases, that in that short time that many parents have to be with their children, that you can have these encounters, these exercises, and really, really establish a whole lot in a short amount of time and get to know your child and let your child know you. You know, as parents, we often wear this mask that we think is what responsibility is supposed to look like, and we don't treat our kids equally. So the exercises really allow parents and children to bond in a way of equality. Now, I don't mean beyond the years of the child. They're done on a level of the child, of course, but it's all about getting to know each other. We know how to raise our kids. It's in every cell we've got. What we do when we worry about how to do it, it's all because it's in our head, and we're trying to fit what we think society wants, our parents wanted, you know, all of that.
Huh. Now, here's something that was coming up, because I was in my mind, as I'm sure people will do so when they listen to you, start thinking about their family upbringing or what they're doing with their children, and the idea of parents like being the knowers of all knowledge. I mean, to a little tiny baby, they are the rulers of the universe for them. And what I would wonder about is if there is support, because to me, how does a parent effectively be vulnerable to their children of, I don't know everything, but we're doing the best we can, versus, listen to me, I know what to do.
Ken, I'm not sure what's going on, but you've broken up and disappeared.
Okay, minor technical difficulty. And
okay.
Can you hear me now, Dr. Meg?
Yeah, I can hear you fine now. I couldn't. I don't know if you could hear me, but I could not understand anything you were saying.
Yeah. Well, occasionally I think it may be some of the orbiting alien spacecraft or something that can interfere with our phone signals. Or
who knows?
Who knows?
So where
exactly.
were we?
And now, what I was asking you, because I was thinking about, as a parent, sometimes how do parents, and I don't know if you address some of this possibly, when they're wanting to be real with their children, and instead of like, well, listen to me because I know what it is there a way for parents to actually be a little vulnerable and maybe team more with the children and rather than
the first thing that the kids need their parents to do is listen to them. Time after time when I ask these kids what, and they say for people to listen. Because we have a lot to say, and no one's hearing us. They're just giving us answers. And that's a big deal, you know. A child, these children are so perceptive, and just like life is bigger and faster for us, it is for them too. And we need to be there to give them the nurturing and, you know, the information that they need. And we need to be aware of the subtle little things that are going on with our kids that we miss when we're so busy.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too.
Now, do you think you could help with your book? Because I know sometimes we've just gotten this strange dysfunctional patterns that we pass on to the children. And I'm guessing you said you had some exercises that can help us break through those. And is that do we do that on our own or with the kids or both?
The way I set it up is I wrote each chapter and addressed each type of issue, and at the end of the of every chapter there's an exercise for adults, and then there's one that they can do with their children. It's written on a different level. Some of them they can do with their children exactly the way they do it, but most of them I altered it to fit a child's experience. So they're very easy, very easy. You know, one of them's all about learning how to listen well, you know, instead of just crashing through the conversation or wherever you are. It teaches you how to use a different set of ears, I call it. You know, they're not hard, but they bring an awareness that we might not have had otherwise.
Ah, wow, that's wonderful. Now, Do you have? Is there something that we could share with our listeners to help even increase their thirst to have your book further by maybe tantalizing them with an example of something that they could use in your book?
Well, I could, but they really apply to the information. So it's
okay.
Kind of hard to just drop an exercise out there without setting it up first, you know, in the chapter. I'm not trying to sell a bug. It's just honest. It's very difficult to, you know, one thing you could do, one of the exercise I was just alluding to is the one where you listen with a different set of ears. Go somewhere out in public and just sit and where there are other people and stop your mind or walk, like at the mall or something. And just listen to everything that's going on around you. What do you hear? And how do you feel inside? As you move along, does how you feel inside change? Does what you're hearing change? You know, listen carefully and start to be aware of what's going on around you. It's a great exercise toward listening, but it also starts getting you more present with yourself. And it's something you can do with your child too. Take them for a walk and then compare notes. What did they hear and how did it feel for them? And what did you hear and how did it feel for you? And share that. What you'll find is each of you had different kinds of feelings with the same thing you heard, you know. And so you can talk about it and you get to know each other that way more deeply.
Wow. Oh, that sounds wonderful, because would you say that sometimes there's a tendency for us to think that someone else is feeling the same way we are in response to a situation?
Oh, yeah. We get oblivious to what other people think or feel, and that more than not doesn't even occur to us because, you know, life is so crazy.
Yeah. Huh. Jeez. Well, that's so just the parents and they don't have to talk about what they think of the person or what might be going on. It's just connecting about...
No, it's only about what you heard and how you felt.
Okay.
Yep. It isn't a matter of judgment or dissecting what, for instance, if you're walking along and you hear a conversation or part of one, it's not about what they were saying or so much, but the fact that you heard it and it brought feelings to you. What were they? That's all.
Ah, okay, folks, listen up. That's a key thing. It's like, okay, we got to know, step on the gas, put on the brakes. So we hear, we get some feelings, we share those feelings, and that's it.
Well, you share the awareness.
Yeah.
You know, you share the awareness above anything.
Yeah, but not going into the drama and all kinds of other stuff.
No, it's just an awareness. Just
yeah.
An observation. An observation.
Wow. There, yeah.
It teaches you to pay attention, because we don't. We zoom through life like a bolt of lightning and we miss everything around us. You know, the old saying that we never stop to smell the roses. Well, we didn't even know there were any, you know.
First you got to notice them before you smell them.
Exactly. So it's just an awareness exercise.
Okay, well, that sounds good. So, hey, folks, you got something to take with you, and the opportunity to go to spiritlight, spiritlite.com to learn more about Dr. Meg. And, of course, great that your new book, Parenting the Children of Now, is just available all over the place, Amazon and all the major bookstores. So that's a good thing. Now, we spoke earlier a little bit about purpose and passion, and I wanted to see, you know, if we can go into that a little bit more, because I know a lot of, what is it, 300 million prescriptions a year for depression. So the depression and passion, you know, kind of like, you know, if you're kind of depressed, there's not too much passion, I'm guessing.
Well, I did touch on purpose a little bit, you know, and basically our purpose is every moment that we exist. It's not a singular achievement. So we're all off the hook. You know, we don't have to run around our lives trying to figure out what mark we're going to make. Every moment that we live and breathe, we are making our mark on the planet. We just need to become aware of what we're doing, you know. Passion is another thing. My observation is that people have started to see finding their passion as an achievement as well, because we've become an achievement-oriented society. But the truth is, here's the deal. Passion is everything that we love. It's not a singular thing. It's nothing to find or achieve. It's anything that makes our heart feel big. You know, it's anything that we just want to hold inside of us that makes us feel, you know, that wonderful feeling. That's passion. Love and passion are nearly synonymous. And so if you do what you love, then you are living your passion. It's that easy.
Ah. Wow. So instead of looking for your passion, you begin to notice, well, what do I love? What excites me?
Exactly. Passion, you'll never find your passion outside of yourself. It comes from within us. So stop looking and just, you know, reach inside and think to yourself, what do I love? Is it a fresh spring morning? Is it a new puppy or baby? You know, is it watching dance or listening to music or anything? You know, anything. You know, being an accountant, who knows? Whatever it is that you love is passion. You know, it's passion is action of love. Boy, I'm going to have to write that down.
Yes.
Passion is love in action.
That's right. Passion is love in action, folks. Make a note. Put it up on your door and your mirror. And then when you see yourself, smile and plant a couple of big kisses right on that mirror. Sometimes, because there's a lot of challenges in the world, and I know parents want to teach their children how to make good choices. And I'm just wondering about the making choices or being discerning in their everyday experiences. What could you share about that?
We teach our children to make choices based on a lot of things, what other people might think, what goal we're trying to reach, any number of things. And what I see and hear a lot with children, and it goes for pretty much any generation, really, but children feel really pressured by their parents, by their friends, by their teachers, you know, by church, whatever, to be a certain way and choose by that. What our children need to learn and we need to learn first is to choose because we want to, because that choosing is something that we desire or we want to do, not because we think we should, you know. And so children and adults alike really need to learn to discern what is it that we want as individuals and who are we really? Are we choosing to please ourselves or the rest of the world? Because I guarantee that when we choose to please the rest of the world, we're not doing what we wanted. We're not being who we are. We're doing what we think we should do. And, you know, we create what I call a cardboard life. Ultimately, it'll catch up with us. You know, because it's not truthful.
Sure. Now, of course, that like you said earlier about being a people pleaser, that's one of the patterns that really creates problems for us. Now, sometimes it's said, well, just follow your feelings, follow your heart, and you'll always, you know, you'll be just fine. And I'm wondering if someone's not feeling good, or if they've been raised in a way where they're a little confused inside, would following their feelings all the time be the best thing if they're not feeling so good, you know, physically or emotionally?
I would choose to say that differently. What I would say is if someone's feeling that way, it's because they're out of truth with themselves.
Oh.
Other people have said or done things that has left that person not feeling good about themselves. That person has kind of lost touch with who they are and what they want. So it's about getting to know themselves, you know. It's about asking yourself, what is it that I really want right this minute? When I make this choice, am I doing it because it's what I want, or it's the echoes of everyone around me or in my past saying that I should? Don't choose because you should. Choose because you want to.
Oh, okay. That's important. Now, made to mention, we hear the word more often now about being authentic. And I'd like to get your explanation about that as parents, what can they do?
Becoming authentic is nothing more than telling ourselves the truth. In other words, you know, it's those little lies we tell ourselves, oh, I'm doing a great job, when in fact you hate your job. You tell yourself that you're so important because you did something. That's that little child in you wanting recognition. When we get authentic, what we learn to do is tell ourselves the truth no matter what. And it doesn't have to be ugly, you know. It's just a matter of factly telling ourselves the truth and acting on our truth from that place of honesty. Once we learn how to be honest with ourselves, then we can be honest with other people. I call that learning to tell the truth one truth at a time.
Oh, it's kind of like a 12-step program.
So everybody's going to a restaurant, and nobody asked you what you really wanted, okay? So you speak up. Listen, I really want Mexican. I know you guys are headed to Italian, but I'm just craving Mexican. And you know what? A lot of times everybody will go along with you if you just speak up. You know, that's just living your truth. Then you're not walking around always sorry that you didn't do what or say what you wanted.
Ah, and that's one of the ways to be authentic.
Yep.
Okay, it's just get in touch with your feelings and then express yourself and at least own. This is what I'd prefer.
Yeah, it's very interesting how hard it is to tell those little truths. And when we realize just how defended we've been, you know, when I first had that realization, I literally had to practice it. And I found that every time I'd start to tell the truth, I was holding my breath because I didn't know how it was going to come back at me. And what I found was nobody barked. In fact, people appreciated it. And people that weren't interested in my truth really didn't need to be my friends anyway.
Ah, so you have by being authentic, you have an automatic friend sorter mechanism.
Exactly.
Yeah, but those that want to play in your game, you play with them, and those that don't, you wish them a good day somewhere else.
Pretty much.
That's pretty cut and dried, but yeah.
You know, you find when you start getting authentic, a lot of times, you know, we've been having relationships that really don't suit us, and they're painful. And we're always feeling like the odd person out. Why have them? What are we doing it for? You know, don't we deserve more than that?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a saying from years ago in the 60s, if it feels good, do it. We didn't get a saying that if it feels bad, let it go.
Exactly. Exactly.
So now, in all of this, of course, as we're making these movements, there's going to be, I guess, probably changes people are going to be going through, and I'm just wondering if you can comment a little bit about that.
Here's what happens. Life gets comfortable, and we truly feel free. And I mean from the inside out. We're no longer guarded. We're no longer hiding who we are. We're getting everything we want because we know how to ask for it now. And we're lighter. We're just lighter in ourselves. And people respond to that. And so what happens is we start to attract the kind of people that we want in our lives who will be mutually honoring with us. And we them, because they're a comfortable fit. They're not a have to. See the difference?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the difference between choosing and like an obligation. Geez, I have to.
Yep.
No, it's not should. It's like I want to.
Right.
Okay. Right. And geez, folks, I mean, here you are, a book away from turning your life around. I'm kind of excited about this, and I want to encourage you, visit Spiritlite, SpiritLite.com, to learn more about Dr. Meg, and of course, you can pick up copies of her book at major bookstores all over the place or online, Parenting the Children of Now. You know, as we're talking about changes and improving our lives, most of us have like the circle of friends or relatives and all that, and I'm just wondering if you can comment a little bit about our relationships in general affecting our children.
Yeah. I would suggest, and anybody that knows me knows that I'm never out to sell my products. I really want to help people. But I would suggest if you are a parent or a grandparent that you gift your child with this book. You know, if you're a grandparent, and read it, and get a copy for your kids if they're having kids, and look at how you can all work together to create a greater comfort zone in your family. There is so much joy waiting there to be had. You know, how many times do you hear people say, God, I got to go home for the holidays, and there's all these dynamics. Well, those dynamics are nothing more than people who are out of truth in one way or another, you know, and out of touch with themselves and looking to everyone else to fix it. So you use the tools in this book, and you find that people, when you're comfortable in yourself, people will be comfortable with you as well. And if they're not, you know, you don't got to keep them. But I really suggest give this, if your child is grown and having children, give it to them for Christmas or something. It would be a really helpful tool to new parents, because I remember when I first had my son, I had no idea who I was supposed to be in all of that. All I had was a perception of what I grew up with, and I didn't like it. So it was just, you know, kids don't come with instructions, but they really don't need them. What we need to know is who we are and where we're going, and then it's easy to help our kids go there too.
Wow. Is that so good? And we see, this to me is so profound, Dr. Meg, because so often there'll be problems in a family, which we have challenges, and a lot of times it seems to show up as problems with the kids acting out in some way, and then it turns into, well, geez, we better fix the kids, dear. They're a real problem.
And, but who taught them? Who allowed that? Who taught them to be that way? Who lacked the skills for something different? You know, that's what this book is about.
And it's, so that's the main thing, is parents and children can be working together and gaining some powerful life skills. And it's like, I don't know, how do you help convince people who can sometimes be a little defensive and guarded, it's okay that you didn't know this stuff?
Yep. Well, it's just the way it is. It is okay. Whether or not we accept that is the question.
Because I know sometimes I deal with guilt or shame. I wanted to be a better parent. It didn't work out. My kids, this, that. So do you just say, well, just get over it, or any
You know what hints? I did? I was one of those parents that I was very young when I had my son. I was a single parent. And I made a lot of mistakes, at least from my perception. And one day I sat my son down and I said, I really want to apologize to you. I feel like I didn't do you justice in these ways. You know, I told him how I felt and a what about. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, that was never my experience. These are just feelings that you have. And I was blown away because all those years I had carried guilt, thinking that he knew I was such a failure as a parent. And what he did was just the opposite. You know, he told me how supportive I was and how he knew I did my very best for him. And it was mind-blowing. And all those years, I carried all that guilt. And so now we have very open communication. There aren't any, you know, issues between us. And fortunately, I was able to do that when he was, you know, fairly young. So there's only ever this now. You know, nothing ever happens outside of now. All we can do to deal with things is right now. What do we choose? It's that easy.
Oh, well, I think we should all take a big deep breath or two for that and a sigh of relief.
Yeah, life's not as hard as we make it.
Oh, well, see, that's, I tell you, that's music to my ears and to so many people who have labored under, we've got to achieve. You didn't do it well enough. You're not enough. You're not good enough. And now it's like, it's okay.
Yeah. Relax. Have a good time. Life is not an achievement. It's a process.
So yeah. That's one of the ways, I guess, you know, as we kind of sum up a little bit here, when we want to have this better reality, is there any other little keys that you haven't shared that we'd like to share?
I have a bunch of them, but I don't think we have much time left.
No, we just got a couple of more minutes. So
yeah.
So if any, you know, couple of things that might come to your mind, and of course, I'm guessing some of these are in some of your books, or do they get some of this online? What is some of the best ways they can go deeper?
You know, my website is really large, and I have a lot of great helpful tools on it. Of course, the books are great, and I have a couple of things that are kind of relative on my website. They're free. You can print them out. You can do what you want with them. One is called 8 Keys for Surviving the Shift, and it's really good stuff. And there's another one. I think I called it Being a Master. I wrote both of those, and they're really good with kind of pointing some things out and bringing awareness forward, and they're very helpful with changing perceptions.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds great. So, and I see here that there's a free MP3 that with 5 special messages from you on changing your life that we can get by going to spiritlite.com.
Sure. You can sign up to get my newsletter for a free trial, and if you don't like it, you can just opt out at any time. I send out something called the online messages, and it's a 2-part thing that I do. And the first part is my take on what's going on in the world and the universe and energies and things like that. And the other part is what I call my guys. It's channeled, and they're pretty darn amazing. They talk about what's going on interdimensionally and specifically related to what's going on our planet and with us and the energies and different things. And I never know what they're going to talk about, but it's a lot of information, and I try to get it out once a month.
Okay.
It's free. And I always have the most recent 2 on the website. If you want to check it out first, you can do that too. It's called the Online Messages. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Online Messages. Yeah, this is great. I am loving this, Dr. Meg. I am excited to move ahead, and I want to share your book with a number of people and encourage my listeners to get your book and visit your website. Just so nice to be able to get a gentle approach to making big changes in our lives.
Yeah, thank you. I love what I do.
Oh, well, it's a gift to all of us. And just thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us here today.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity, and I want to thank the listeners for being there. You know, without you, I don't have much to do. So thanks for listening.
Well, there you go, and thank you, listeners. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you every week and invite you to visit, of course, our sponsor, AdvancedLiving.com, for the comfort technology. And blessings to all. So until we meet again, God bless. And goodbye for now. Let's go.